Good morning. All right. So glad you guys are here with us this morning at Motion Church. Let me reiterate some of the things that John said. Isn't John fun? John is so spunky, man. So we are having a baptism next week. Man, we celebrate baptism. We believe that there are a few moments in the life of a Christian that, man, you should just kind of go big. And you know, so we celebrate Easter. We think that that's the Super Bowl for Christians, right? It's like this monumental moment in the life of Christianity in the church. And so it's something that we celebrate. We also celebrate baptism because we think that baptism is a symbolic way of, it represents you going from death to life because of what Jesus has done. So we celebrate. It's a very high energy celebration. If you're getting baptized, man, bring your friends, bring your family. We think it's something, because that's the whole goal of baptism. It's to publicly, we say it's an outward expression of an inward condition. And so that's what we do. We celebrate it, and we think it should be something that you should celebrate as well. So baptism next week, if you haven't signed up, be signed up. And if you have signed up, bring your crew. All right? Good. Glad you guys are here with us. My name is Chris. If you're a guest or this is your first time, if you're a Laterno student, we want to welcome you. We know you guys, we have a lot of you coming in from the church fair, so get ready for this semester. Laterno is a hard school, and so we commend you guys for going to Laterno and then also continuing to make time for church and first things first, right? Your relationship with God will always be the most important thing. So thank you for being here. Today we're continuing. There we go. I've got... The slow clap has been working the last few weeks, man. It's been good. So we're continuing a series this week called Gifted and Talented. And the premise of the series is, it's a really simple one. It's to identify the gifts that we have and to put them into practice, right? And here's the deal with that. Let's just be honest. A lot of times we know what we're supposed to do. It's just, you know, putting it into practice that we struggle with, right? So many times in my life, it's never been a lack of knowledge that's been my downfall. It's been a lack of execution that's been my downfall, right? And I think it's something we all struggle with. Now, on the other side of that, a lot of you are probably still in the process of discovering exactly what it is that your gifts are. What are you good at? What is it that makes you feel connected to your purpose? What is it that you can kind of look back at your life and say, my life has meaning and value now, and I understand why God put me on this earth because of this, right? This gift that he's given to me to serve other people. And so wherever you're at in this journey, I think there are some things that we can learn through this series. And so ultimately, it's always, regardless of where you are, it's about taking the next step, right? Like if you don't know what your gifts are and you're still trying to discover what they are, we'll take the next step towards discovery. If you know what they are, but you're not putting them into practice, take the next step into putting them into practice, right? If you're being a lazy bum and you know what your gifts are and you're not doing anything with them, then get off your bum and do something about it, right? So the point is just simple. Every one of us have something that we can take away from the series and put it into practice. The backdrop for this series, the scripture that kind of drives this series, is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, and it says this: each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. And I kind of like, it's funny the way that words are used, right? You specifically and intentionally choose words to communicate specific things, right? So he doesn't say some of you. He says each of you, implying all of you. Every one of us have gifts that God has given us, and we're called, we're expected. He wants us to use the gifts that he's given us to serve others. And then it says, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various form. And I think what's so important about that is that it's just a reminder that the gifts that God has given you to use to serve other people is really just an extension of his grace. And I think that adds another layer of weight to it, right? It's like, you're not doing this for you. You're not doing this for attention for yourself. You're not trying to bring, you know, awareness of how awesome you are. Ultimately, you're just trying to be an extension of God's grace using the gifts that he's given you to serve other people. That's huge. That's good. And so, again, like I said, I know sometimes the hard part is the follow-through. We know what to do. It's just executing. Because this is, let's just be honest, in church, that's always smart, seemingly. A lot of us, I think, are very well-intentioned. A lot of us, we know that we've got some gifts, we've got some things that we can use to serve other people. Man, we may not be the most talented people, but we know that we've got something that can be used to serve other people. And this is where we kind of get, we drop the ball. Sometimes I think that we think that our intentions are suffice, and our intentions are not suffice. It's our effort, it's our follow-through, it's what we actually do that matters. I was thinking about this yesterday. I went to a funeral yesterday, and I was thinking about how many intentions are buried in the graveyard, right? How many good intentions do you carry with you all through your life, never actually doing something with them, and they're buried with you in the graveyard, in the cemetery, right? So let's not carry, that's a heavy thing to carry, to look back at your life in 30 or 40 years and be like, man, I wish my life would have made more of a difference, and I would have been more selfless, and I would have served more people. Because I don't know, I've never heard somebody at the end of their life saying, man, I wish I would have spent more time on me. I wish I would have done more for myself. I wish I would have spent more time alone. These aren't things that people say. I wish I would have loved more. I wish I would have spent more time with my family. I wish I would have given more or served more. Like, those are the things that you hear people talking about at the end of their life. So let's not be that. Let's not carry our intentions to the grave. And so, again, wherever you are with respect to this journey, I think we can all learn and grow through this series. And so the first week we talked about not being slackers, right? Because, you know, using the gifted and talented idea, like when you're in school, it's only the gifted and talented kids that get invited to this program. The rest of us, we played sports, right? That's just what we did. And so some of us didn't get invited. And the point of it was simply that some people don't get invited not because they're intelligent, but because they're slackers. They're not applied. They don't work hard. And we, as followers of Jesus, that's not an option for us. Like, we don't get an exemption or exception because we don't work hard. Slacking isn't part of it. Man, so many places in Scripture, it uses these words like all and each, and there's an expectation for every one of us to do something with what we've got. And the problem with the world that we live in is that we expect other people to do our job for us, and that's just not the way it works in Christianity, but what do I know, right? So last week, we talked about being unqualified. How many of you, let's just be kind of, again, take an honest survey in church. You realize that God has given you some gifts, and you realize that he expects you to use your gifts to serve other people, but you just sometimes feel unqualified to use those gifts. Hey, yeah, that's what we talked about last week. It'll be on iTunes eventually. So, shameless plug. And there was one thing that I didn't get to that I really wanted to get to last week, and it's just crazy. When you read through Scripture, you read the stories and lives about the lives of these men and women that God used all throughout history, you kind of see that they were a little bit messed up, that they were unqualified, and God still chose to use them. Here are some examples. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. It's funny. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. If you read the story, it's just Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. What kind of church is that? Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. And God used every single one of them to make a difference in the world that they lived in. And he can use you. All right. Man, maybe I should have preached about that last week. And so here's the deal, man. Look, you've got flaws. You've got faults. You've got failures or idiosyncrasies or things that you think disqualify you. You are qualified to do what it is that God has called you to do. Don't stand on the sidelines because of some past shame, regret, remorse. Just get in the game and do something with your life. This week, we're going to talk about what I believe to be the most appropriate passage with respect to this series. Like, I think we would just be absolutely wrong if we did a series called Gifted and Talented and we didn't look at the story of the parable of the talents, right? Have you heard this? Jesus always told stories because we're kind of thick, right? Like, if he would have said bluntly what it was that he needed to say, we'd be like, I don't get it, right? And so Jesus tells stories, and he communicates in a way that we understand. He uses symbolism, and he uses things and analogies that we get to communicate the message and the principle. And so he uses this story called the parable of the talents. And what's so funny is Jesus, he always, very often used money as a way to get people to understand things. And so
I don't think the condition has changed. Like, you can understand money. And people, when you get into church, they get all uptight when you start talking about money. But the funny thing is, you spend the vast majority of your time pursuing money. But that's cool. So Jesus talked about money a lot, and he uses this story called the Parable of the Talents, and he uses money as the example, as the analogy, but there's a deeper meaning that we'll look at in a little bit. So I think there's some things that we need to understand before we get into the passage. A talent in this story is specifically currency. It's a monetary, something that they use that monetarily can be exchanged in, you know, trade or whatever it is that you want to do with it. And so a talent is specifically a form of currency. It's a monetary unit. And it was equivalent to, one talent was equivalent to about 20 years of labor for a laborer, 20 years of wages for a laborer. That's a lot of money. I mean, can you imagine if you get paid, like, we gripe because we get paid every other week. I get paid once every 20 years. Okay. So it was a monetary unit that was equivalent to about 20 years worth of wages. The median wage, let's just kind of put this in perspective. The median wage in the United States, the average household income is about $52,000. The median wage per laborer is about, when you factor all of that stuff in, is almost $27,000, $26,695. So that's the median wage. So obviously some make exceptionally more than that. Some don't work. So it kind of brings the numbers, you know, it skews the numbers a little bit. So let's just say, for the sake of our conversation, that the average person, the average individual, makes $27,000 a year. And one talent is 20 years worth of that. So that would put it somewhere in the area of $533,000. One talent is $533,000. It's very valuable. Very valuable in terms of our understanding of money, very valuable in terms of their understanding of money. So Jesus, when he's talking about it, and he's using this example of giving them talents, giving them something extremely valuable, they're like, oh, I get it. It's very valuable. So what it is, the message that he's trying to communicate, it kind of drives the point home. But the moral of the story isn't that God gives us monetary riches. It's that he places treasures inside of us, right? It's not that God's... I get so frustrated when, you know, you turn on, sometimes I do it to myself. I told you guys last week, if you want to bang your head against the wall, go read comment sections. And the other thing is, like, when you're watching TV and they're telling you that if you send $68.13, God's going to pay off your mortgage. And I'm like, where's that at in the Bible, right? And I just don't think God blesses us, God provides for us, God takes care of us, but that's not scriptural, that's not biblical, that's just wrong, and that's people abusing naive people, but we won't get into that too much. And so here's the thing, God will bless us, but that's not the point of the story. The point is not monetary riches. The point is that you have treasure inside of you. You have treasure inside of you. You've got something so valuable inside of you that he expects you to use for other people, for his glory, but serving toward other people. So here's the story. Here's the parable of the talents. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. They tell you, you're never supposed to read more than, like, you know, 3, 4, 5 verses of scripture at a time. We're going to do, I don't know, 17. And you guys, because you're such an astute bunch, it'll be good. This is the story. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey. And let me set this up real quick. He says, for it is just like... It is just like, he's explaining what the kingdom of heaven is like. He's like, they're kind of, they want to know. So you're talking about all these new ideas, and you're bringing in kind of this new way of understanding God. We want to understand more fully what the kingdom of heaven is like. We want to understand how God works. We want to understand his nature, his character. And so Jesus is explaining this to them in a story. He said, it's just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. A rich man, a wealthy man, is about to go on a journey. He calls three of his slaves together, and he entrusts his possessions, his riches, to them. To one, he gave 5 talents, to another, 2, and to another, 1, each according to his own ability. Remember that. And he went on his own journey, Verse 16, immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. So the one that got 5 went and made 5 more. We make money, though. Verse 17. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents went and gained 2 more. But the one who received 1 talent went away, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought five more talents, saying, 'Master, you entrusted five talents to me. See, I have gained five more talents.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Also, the one who had received the two talents came up and said, 'Master, you entrusted two talents to me.'" This is a lot of text, right? I did lose my place. I was going to try to play it off, but it just didn't happen, right? So, "Master, you entrusted two talents to me. See, I have gained two more talents.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.'" So let's stop right there for just a second. So you've got, the story is really simple. The master goes away, leaves his trust, his possessions, his talents with these three slaves. The first two, one was given five talents, which, you know, using our numbers would be about $2.5 million, $2.6 million or so. The second one, which was only two talents, would be about $1,050,000. My math is probably off. You Laterno guys, y'all figure it out, right? And so they're given a lot, right? They're given extremely a large value or something that's extremely valuable. And so the master leaves and he comes back, and the two that were given five talents and two talents put their talents to work. They did something with them. And their reward was, he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with little. Now I'll put you over much." And then he said, "Enter into the joy of your master." These are phrases that we need to lock in the vault because we'll come back to them. So we'll pick up the story again. Here comes the slacker. And the one also who had received the one talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." So he's like, "Here's your talent back. You gave me one. I'm going to give it back to you. I haven't done anything with it in all this time that you've been gone. So here you go." See what we did there? 27. Where am I going? 26. Thank you, Shelley. All right. "See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, 'You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest.'" Like, at least if you would have put this stuff in the bank, I would have gotten something out of it. But you've done nothing with it but stick it in the ground and hoard it, and nothing productive or good has come out of this talent that I've given you. And so verse 28, "Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." We don't like to hear it. That's some heavy stuff, man. Like, and I'm not trying to, you know, frighten anybody into service, because that'll only last a week. You need to be loved into service, right? Our response to Jesus and grace and mercy and love should be service. And if you're acting out of this fear, it's not going to last long. In fact, you know what I think the driving emotion of the lazy slave not using his talents was? It was fear. And it was the thing that kept him from doing what it was that he was supposed to do. And I think it's the same thing that keeps us sometimes from doing what we're supposed to do. We're trepidatious. We're fearful of stepping out. We're fearful of putting ourselves out there. We're fearful of, well, we don't know what the answers are going to be, and we don't know if we're going to make it, and we don't know if we're going to look stupid. And you can't let fear keep you on the sidelines. So what I want to do today, we're just going to kind of do some quick hitters, some bullet points of things that I think that are important in this story that apply to our series called Gifted and Talented. And the first one is this: you have talents. You have talents. All three of the slaves had talents. They were each given talents. Now, some were given more than others, but every one of them have talents. And the same thing is true of us. Like, every one of us has talents, and some of you are more talented than me, right? That's obvious to see, right? Some of us are more talented than others. Some of us have greater giftings than others. And the thing is, you can't get bent out of shape or get caught up on that or focus too much on that. Just run your race. Stay in your lane. Do your thing. Don't focus on other people and what they're doing, because that's just a bad place to live. You know that if you are always looking at what other people are doing, you'll never be content with the life that you've been given. You will never be content with the life that you've been given if you're always looking at what other people accomplish, what they have, kind of their accolades. And man, it's just it's a bad place to live. You don't want to live your life like that. You've got talents. You need to use the gifts that you've been given to serve other people, to honor God. And what's crazy about that is if you do what you're supposed to do, everything else will work itself out, right? You don't have to focus on what other people are doing. We've all got something that we've been created by God to do and a gift he's given us to use. And I think it's important to note, because I've done this kind of maybe jokingly, halfway jokingly. How many of you say things as a joke, but you're dead serious, right? And so I'll say things kind of jokingly like, oh man, God loves them so much more than me because look at what they can do. Ha ha. But I'm so serious, right? You look at the talents that some people have, and I'm like, man, that's not even fair. Like, and they didn't work for it. They didn't earn it. It was just given. It is a gift. God gave it to them. And my response to that, my thought about that is well, God just, he loves them more than he loves me. And that's just not true. Because if you look at the story, all three of them, they're standing with the master wasn't predicated on the talents that they have. They each had the same status and title. The response changed the way he felt about them, but it wasn't determined based on the talents that they have. You get it? So each one, he had five. He was still a slave. He still was in the same position and standing with the master. The next one had two. He was still in the same position and standing with the master. The one that only had one was still a slave and in the same position and standing with the master. Like, God doesn't love you less because you don't have these gifts, or you're not as awesome, or you don't think you're as awesome as this person, right? It doesn't change the way he feels about you if you don't think you're that talented or you don't think you're that gifted. It's just not true. So don't look at other people. That is a bad place to live. You have talents. The second one is this. We're going to move quickly because I don't know if I've done this many points in a long time. Apparently, you're not supposed to do that either. So we're breaking all the rules today. The second one is this. Talent is heavy. Talent is heavy. And you know, physically, literally, a talent was approximately 50 pounds of precious metal. Like, they didn't have dollar bills that they used to you know, trade, and that wasn't the currency that they used. They used precious metals. And so one talent was about 50 pounds of precious metals. So you can imagine when the master unloads five talents onto the servant, it's 250 pounds of precious metal. So he's carrying all of these talents. And I think that's just kind of a physical thing, but I think there's a message in there for us. Talent's heavy. And this is my point. This is what I'm getting at. That sounds confusing. Let me explain what I'm saying. Using your gift can be burdensome. It's hard work sometimes. And it's tiring. And you would rather just chill. And you would rather just take some time for yourself. And you would rather, you know, just sit on the couch and veg and watch Netflix or whatever it is that you want to do. But you choose to use your gift, and it's tiring. It's heavy. It's weighty. I prayed a prayer the other day. These are always you ever pray dangerous prayers or stupid prayers? Prayed a stupid prayer the other day. I was on my way to do something, and I was like, God, I want you to use me today to serve somebody else, to help somebody else. And by the end of the evening, my conversation with God was like, man, I feel so used. Because gifts are heavy. Talents are heavy. Man, you get tired. Like, you get wore out. But you're choosing for your life to matter. You're choosing for your life to make a difference. You're choosing for when it's all said and done, you were a bright light that burned, man. Like, you won't look back over the course of your life and have the regrets that people who live for themselves have. So using your talents is hard work, but it's worthwhile. When you think of terms of investing, which is what they were doing with their talents, they were investing their talents. And so it's the greatest return on investment that you'll ever get, which kind of leads us to our next point. The third one is this: effort is rewarded. And this one, it can get dicey because, look, we believe that you're saved by grace through faith. God doesn't love you more based on how hard you work. But effort is rewarded. You love your kids all the same. But when one does their chores and one doesn't, you reward the one that did their chores. You don't give $20 to the kid that didn't do their chores. You give them a butt whooping. If you believe in all of that stuff. We don't, obviously. So effort is rewarded. And so there's a fascinating statement found in this passage that if you just kind of read it at you know, on the surface for what it's worth, then you'll miss it. You'll just kind of gloss over it and cruise through it. And so Jesus said to the two that used their talents well, he said, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." There's a reward, right? There's this advancement. There's this opportunities that come. And I think so many people run around looking for opportunities when they're not doing anything with where they're at. Why would God open doors for you to go over here when you're not doing anything over here? So I thought I expected a better response. That one must have hurt a little bit. So you were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. That's a pet peeve too, man. That irks me to no end. People want, I better stop. So I will put you in charge of many things. And this is the phrase I wanted to focus on. He said, enter into the joy of your master. Because you were faithful, because you served, because you used what I gave you well, enter into the joy of your master. And I think so many people live their life with discontentment. They live their life without this feeling and sense of purpose. They live their life not feeling content. It's because they're not doing what they're called to do. They're not using their gifts to serve other people. They don't get to experience the joy of their master because they're not being faithful stewards of what he's given them. And so when people run around all of their lives just trying to busy themselves and make them, it's always we busy ourselves and we hurry and we entertain ourselves as a band-aid for the lack of joy in our life. And if you want some real joy and you want some real contentment, use the gifts that you've got to serve other people. That's the only way to have lasting, true joy that's unflappable, unwavering in spite of circumstances. That's where our joy comes from. That's the source of our joy. And so if you want to have some real joy, effort is rewarded. The next one, number four, laziness is unacceptable. You get a sense from the story that like Jesus is not playing around with this, man. Like, and I know sometimes we're kind of lighthearted and Jesus' words are they're so lovey-dovey and he's so compassionate and merciful and gracious, right? But you read this story and you're like, man, he's not mincing words. Like, he's not pulling punches. He's saying what needs to be said and he's setting the tone for us to understand this is serious. He's not messing around. Like, let's read the last few verses. Let's start in verse 27. He says, "Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But the one who does not have, even what he does have, shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." He's pretty serious about this. He's dead serious about this. Like, your life matters. The talents that he's given you, it's intentional. There's reason, there's purpose, and he wants you to use it. There's reward for using your gifts, but there's also kind of the flip side of that. If there's reward, then there's also punishment, right? There's this idea that if you don't do what you're supposed to do and you don't follow through with the gifts that he's given you, you've got to answer for that. And that's not a conversation that I want to have. Like, one of the scariest verses in all of the Bible to me is when Jesus is kind of talking about separating the sheep and the goats, and he's like, "Hey, you guys come over here, and so you did so well in your life," and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant," and then he brings up this other group of people, and they acted like they did all the right things, and they're like, "Man, you know, we went to church every once in a while, Christmas and Easter, you know, and we were good people, and we did nice things for people, and we even talked about Jesus, and we prophesied, and we did all these things," and Jesus said to him, "Depart from me. Get away from me. Man, I don't even know you." And that scares me. That frightens me. And I think the weight of that should be applied to this. He says the same thing to the ones that did what they were supposed to. He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But to the one that didn't use the gift that he had, that didn't use the talents that he has, he's like, "Get away from me." That's heavy. And it's not heavy for the sake of heavy. It's heavy for the sake of action. It's heavy for, hey, let's get serious about this, man. What do I have to offer to the world around me? What is it that I can use to point people to Jesus? What is it that I can do to give people hope, to be an inspiration, to let people understand that there's meaning and purpose in this life? Like, that's what we need to get serious about. So that's number four. Laziness is unacceptable. Number five, use it or lose it. If you don't, someone else will. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, he's not going to sit around and wait for you. Just, you know, "Oh, I wish they would do it. Today's going to be the day. Yay. Like, man, somebody else is going to step up and do it. And what's crazy is they're going to be the ones that get your reward. They're going to be the ones that get the opportunities that you wanted because they were faithful with what they were given. And we get so jealous of other people and their opportunities, but you don't know what they've put in. You don't know the work that they've put in to get to the point that they're at. We live in a generation, this is the way that we are. So if you're in your late 20s or early 30s, you've already bought a house or you're thinking about buying a house and you want a family and you want all of the things. We want all of the things that our parents have now without putting in the 20 or 30 years of work that they've put in to get to where they're at. And the same thing is true kind of with this understanding of people using their gifts and their talents and the opportunities that they have. We want to be where they're at, and we want to have the success that they have, and we want to have the opportunities that they have, but we don't want to do the work that they've done. And it just doesn't work like that. If you don't use it, you're going to lose it. That's number five. Number six. This one's really interesting. That better be Jesus calling. Number six, talents. This one, I hope it's not too much of a stretch. It says talents equal mercy. Talents equal mercy. And I read an interesting article that was really, to be honest with you, it was so far above my head that I can't fully grasp it, but I hope I can communicate what I did grasp. So there was an interesting article that equated the weight of a talent, how heavy and significant it was, to the Old Testament word, it's kalbod, which is the glory of God. So if you read the Old Testament in the temple, that what they called the mercy seat, which if you guys are not familiar with the Old Testament temple, it's a fascinating thing. So there's these two angels that are covering and hovering above the mercy seat, and the kalbod, which is the glory and presence of God. It's also another word for it is the weight and significance of God. And so when Jesus was talking to his Jewish audience, it seems that they would understand kind of the correlation between the weight and significance of God and the weight and significance of a talent. And this article went on to indicate, and I kind of understand where they're coming from, and I somewhat believe it. I agree with it. I'm wrestling this as I go, right? And so the point is really this. When we choose to use our talents, when we choose to use the things that God has given us, all we're really doing is an extension and sharing of the divine nature, the character, and the mercy of God. Your talent equals mercy. Your talent equals the glory of God. Your talent equals the presence of God. And your talent equals God at work in the world around us. It's the presence of God. It's the significance of God. It's the glory of God. It's the kalbod. And so when we use the gifts that God has given us, we're really just taking part in his story. We're really just taking part in this greater picture, because this is what's so fascinating to me about the church. What I love about the church is that we get to be a part of something that's so much bigger than ourselves. Because here's the deal. Like, you see people that build great empires or do great things, but it dies when they die, right? It leaves when they leave. The church will go on without us. Let's jump in and contribute right here and right now. Let's make a difference where we're at, man. Let's do what we can do right here, right now. But let's just, with the intention of propelling this thing forward in the years to come. The downfall of the last servant wasn't that you know, he just kind of hid his talent. His downfall was really that he selfishly chose to keep what he had from the world around him. Like, he went and dug a hole and he buried his talent in the ground so that nobody would see it, nobody would experience it, nobody would understand what God had uniquely gifted and created him to do. And I think so many of us do the same thing. Like, you've got hidden talents, you've got secrets, gifts that none of us know about, and you're hiding it from the world. And what you're really doing, you're not just hiding your talents from the world. What you're really doing is you're not sharing the weight, the significance, and the glory of God. And that's a heavy thing, and it should be a heavy thing. So what we need to do, let me talk to each of the groups this morning. The first one, if you're using your talent, if you're super talented, you're five talent kind of person, and you're using your talents, keep on, man. Like, don't stop. Like, just make a huge impact on the world that you live in. You can do things that none of us, that very few of us will ever be able to do. So don't get distracted. Don't get delayed. Fight the good fight. For those of you, I feel like this is my crew, the two-talent crew. That's like a rap artist, man. Y'all watch, it's coming soon. For the two-talent crew, those of us that don't feel like we're super gifted, that we don't feel like we're super talented, we don't feel like we're superstars, God, for whatever reason, didn't choose to make us 6'5", 230 with a laser rocket arm. Still frustrated about that one. But in his infinite wisdom, he chose to make us the way that he made us. And here's my response to you, to us, to me. Fight the fight, man. Don't look at what other people are doing. Don't get jealous of what they accomplish. Don't get bent out of shape because you're not able to do what they're able to do. Do what you do. Do what only you can do. You are the only you, and only you can do what you can do, so you better do what God has called you to do, my two-talent crew. Hey! Don't get bent out of shape because you're not the most amazing preacher in the world. Don't get bent out of shape because you're not, you know, the most talented and articulate person in the world. Don't get bent out of shape because you're not the most beautiful person in the world. Find what you've got. Use what you've got. Be faithful with what you've got. Run your race. And, you know, how many of you guys watch the Olympics? I love watching the Olympics, man. And those dudes can fly. Those girls can fly. But you know what they don't do? They don't get out of their lane. They run their race in their lane. They don't say, oh, well, look how fast they are. It must be the lane, right? I'm going to jump over to lane 8 because everybody's going faster in lane 8. They run their race in their lane, and that's what we're called to do too. Do what you do. Find your gifts. Use your gifts. Be a two-talent crew, man. Let's do that. The last one. The slow clap almost worked that time. Almost. The last one. If God has given you a talent and you're not doing anything with it, come on, man. Come on, man. Like, shame on us. If God has given us something that this gift, this purpose, this talent that can be used to serve the world around you, but we're lazy or we're selfish or we're passive or we're uninitiated, shame on us. Like, you are the problem with the world. Can we just be honest for a minute? Like, you are the problem with society. Like, we have the most entitled, selfish society possibly in the history of the world. And you're part of it. You're contributing to it. Nobody in this church, clearly. We're putting this on the podcast so other churches can listen to it. But shame on us, man. Shame on us. If you've got even just one talent and you don't use it, if you've got just this one little thing that you can do and you can do it pretty well and you're not using it, shame on you. Like, and I think we need to read the end of that story over and over and over again, because he takes away what you did have, gives it to somebody else, and he's like, get away from me. Don't be there. Don't go there. Don't live that life. Make your life matter. Use what you've got to serve other people. Ultimately, it's for the glory of God. Amen? Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so incredibly much for this story, God, that you shared with us to help us to understand the importance of using what you've given us, the talents that you've given us, the gifts that you've given us. God, I know so many of us are still in the process of discovering those gifts, but I pray that we never lose that sense of urgency to use our gifts, that we never get past this idea that you have called us to be a part of something so much bigger than ourselves. Help us, God, to never, ever, ever be a contributor to the problems of this world, the society that we live in, God, but to be problem solvers, to offer solutions, to use what we've got to serve other people and to contribute, to lend itself to being the grace of God extended. God, we absolutely love you. We pray that as we leave this place, God, that you will let church continue in our community. God, we're not confined to these four walls, God, but our life, our impact, our ministry is outside of the four walls of this church. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for all that you do, and it's in your incredible name we pray, and everybody said, amen.